No problem. I don't get embarrassed too easy. Let me get my arm out through there, though. There we go. Let's see. Seems like I did get tied up by something like that just not too long ago. I am happy to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you tonight. And you know, open up to Jeremiah 32:27. And also Jeremiah chapter 33. But the title of what I want to bring to you tonight is, Can I Get Over the Hard Times and the Hard Places? Or, you know, maybe no one else but me has ever been there. But how many times do I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place? And, you know, sometimes it just seems like everything you touch falls apart. And that's some of the hard times and the hard places that I go through. You know, for an example, last week, within about 3 days last week, I had one of those faucets, you know, you move back and forth and pull the handle down. And it started leaking pretty bad all of a sudden. I guess, I didn't think it did, but I must have pushed the handle up too hard and I broke it. Anyhow, water, that thing started squirting water bad, and I was trying to find out how to shut it off without going outside and closing off all the water. By the time I got it done, enough water had run down underneath that, you know, the boards in the cabinets underneath the sink. The end result is, after a couple of days, they were twice as big as they were before the water got down in there. So I had to take my knife and cut the Formica off the front and cut those out and go out and cut me some others and try to match them up, because I'm not a very good carpenter. But I try a lot. And my wife said, honey, why don't you get someone to come and do this? I said, baby, I spent 2 days. It'd probably taken 2 days, and I'd have spent $100. I said, I can work like that. Probably spent more than $100. I don't know. But anyhow, you know, finally got all that done and went out to get my lawnmower out, and that little window that cranks up on a trailer, it was missing. Rain had been coming down into my trailer, I don't know how many days, so it blowed away. I couldn't even find a piece of it. I don't know where it went. And then got the weed eater out to use it, and it ran about 10 minutes, and it quit. So I put it away, and I got Debbie's out and was using it, and it ran about 10 minutes, and it quit. Then the pool pump, while I was overseas, I thought my pool pump had gone. I was ready to spend about $300 for it. I was able to fix it, though, for about $15. But anyhow, you know, the Jeep hood, I tried to raise it, and I had to order a part from Amazon for it. And then the other day, I looked on the top of my head, and where they'd put those stitches in, there was two strings sticking out the top of my head about that far. And I was afraid if I got captured, someone would tie me up, you know, by that, let me hang and pull my brains out. And I sure didn't want that to happen. So, you know, then another thing, I got a hammer toe about 12, 15 years ago. Never had any problem with it until Sunday morning at church here. I got a blister on that toe because of it. So I called and made an appointment to see the doctor and see if I can get that thing fixed. And then I go to today, and the guy tells me, you know, he says, well, we need to put you on some radiation. I said, well, how about some other? I said, he said, well, you can't have your toe fixed or your shoulder fixed, either one, and do the radiation. So if you want to wait on the radiation, I said, no, I think that's more important. So let's go with it. So, you know, I felt like I was between the rock and a hard place for 3 or 4 days there. But hallelujah, you know, it all worked out. And I can say this, the cost was not near what I thought I'd end up spending for all those things. Well, I don't know about my weed eaters yet. I haven't got them running, but that's okay. We'll get them going too. But you know, it just seems like sometimes everything you touch falls apart. And that's kind of what happened last week to me. I guess I got to feeling sorry for myself. And that's what prompted me to try to speak to you about, can I get over these hard times and hard places? And Jeremiah 32:27 says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Many times we get to thinking they are. But you know, there's nothing too hard for God. Whatever the situation is, when we give the situation to Him, He will take care of it. You know what our problem is? Probably just like with me. I think I can do it all by myself, and I don't want to, you know, I don't like to ask you guys to come and help me with anything. Now, before the hurricane last couple of years ago, I did have the preacher come over and help me get my generator going. But you know, I like to do stuff myself. I don't like to ask for help. And probably the same thing comes true with asking God. Nothing's too hard for Him, but I like to do it myself, so I try. You know, these hard times, though, sometimes they are of our own making. Sometimes, though, we're like King David was with Absalom. Whew. You know, Absalom brought him a lot of problems. Sometimes the devil, he loves it when he can get a hold of us. Now, you know, I preached a sermon here, "Does the Devil Know Your Name?" And you know something? I want him to know my name. Because if I'm not doing anything that upsets him, he leaves me alone. If I start doing something that gets him upset, then he knows me because he's trying to shut me up and get me off out of, you know, out of the game, so to speak. So sometimes he'll work on things. Over the years, there's been a lot of times that I felt like I was between a rock and a hard place. For instance, in Kenya one time, was without electric for 2 weeks, was without water for about 6 weeks. And by the way, one of those times when we was without water, we had a Thanksgiving party at our house and had about 40, 50 people there. And I told them, I said, "Now, there's some water in a barrel out there and a bucket. Help yourself when you need it, you know." So anyhow, between a rock and a hard place, sometimes you have to just deal with what you got and ask God for help, and He will usually do it. You know, there's three, I used to say there's two types of people, the optimist and the pessimist. You know, the optimist says the glass is half full. The pessimist says it's half empty. Now, I like being an optimist better than a pessimist. I like to look at the positive side. Hey, I still got a half a glass of water instead of saying, "Oh my goodness, look at that. Half the water's already gone." It's the same difference, but it sure does sound different. But you know, there's a third one too. We have the realist. He says, "If I stick around long enough, I'm going to end up washing that glass." So, you know, I think I like that view better, probably, whatever it is. But the Bible, does it address trouble? Job 5:7, and I'm not going to give you time to turn there for time's sake. Job 5:7 says, though, "Yet man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upward, we are born unto trouble." Job 14:1, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Yeah, we're going to have trouble. You show me someone that says, "I don't have any trouble," and I'm going to show you someone that's never had a life. You're going to have it. You're going to run into some situations that you don't know how to deal with them. Some people are what we term escapist, though. They like to escape from everything they can. Anything that's boring or brings about a little bit of difficulty or whatever it is, they try to escape from the situation. But it's better to deal with it when it comes. Whatever the trouble is, deal with it. Get it over with. Get it out of your life. You know, today wasn't a real easy day because we got a letter from the lawyer. So excuse me for going into this, but we got a letter from a lawyer. And he said in the letter, "Situation with your daughter is finished." Well, that word "finished," it did kind of, it hurt me because my daughter said, "Dad, let's sell my trailer," you know, before she passed away. I said, "No, Debbie, I don't want to close the door to everything right now. I don't want to close the door. I want to keep it open. I don't want to say you're never going to go back to your trailer. And I wouldn't sell it." She said, "Well, Dad, let's sell my car." I said, "No, baby, I don't want to sell your car either." I said, "I don't want to close the door." So yet when that lawyer sent that letter today and said, "It's finished," I told my wife, I said, "You know, it's not finished because I'll never get finished about her situation because she was my daughter and I loved her and I'll never get over it. That's okay." But you know, that finished a segment that we were going through. That part, one part of it's finished. And it hurt. But you know, you have to deal with it and get on with life. God's got something ahead for us all. People try to escape sometimes with booze or pills or whatever it is, and you can't do it. Is there anything too hard for God? He said that. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing. There's no disease that's too hard for Him. There's no financial problems. There's no church problems. There's absolutely nothing that's too hard for God. Now, if we want to get over the hard times and the hard places, if we want to get out from between that rock and a hard place, there's some things we can do. First, we can get... You know, I tried to find another word, and I even looked up thesaurus. I can't say that word. Thesaurus, I think. Is that right? Okay, I looked it up and I tried to find out another word I could use, but providential help. You know, that seems like a bigger word than what this old hillbilly is used to using, but let me use it because I couldn't find a better one to use. But it says, we can get over the hard times and hard places with God-given providential help. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, I told you to open up to that. And I'd like you to turn there if you have that ready and available. It says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You know the first words in that verse, "Call unto me." God wants us to call unto Him. You know, okay, what does He mean by that? He wants us to talk to Him. Does God know my problem before I talk to Him and tell Him what it is? Does He like me to tell Him about it? You know, my kids, a lot of times I know what their trouble is. I'll ask them just because I want them to talk to me about it. I want to help them, but I want them to talk to me about it. I want them to share it with me. And God says that, "Call unto me." So we need to take our problems to God and ask Him for help. But you notice, right after He said, "Call unto me," He gave us a promise. In that verse, what's the next 5? Next 5 words, "I will answer thee." Well, including the "and." "And I will answer thee." He made us a promise. If we'll call Him and give Him our troubles, He will answer thee. He will help us with our problems. He wants to help. You know, problem is we don't call on Him enough. You know, we have a number we can call, 911. When we're having trouble with our health, someone's trying to break in, whatever's going on, there's a help number that we can call. And that number is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me and I will answer." That's our 911 of the Scripture. We can call unto Him. He will answer us. And then He said, He will show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, that's what's neat. He's made a promise there, and I don't know how you can read it any other way. He's going to go beyond what we expect. And He's a marvelous God because He does that. How many times has He gone beyond what I expected? You know, every time I turn around, He's got a new blessing for me. Every time I flip a page, there's a new blessing. You know, He's an amazing God, and He loves us so much. He wants to answer us, and not only will He answer us, but He will show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That tells me He's going to go beyond what I expect when I give my problems to Him and trust Him to take care of me. Hallelujah! Can I get over my hard times and hard places? You know what? I'm getting over them. One by one, hallelujah. You know, every day I get up, sometimes I say, "Honey, I'm tired." After I laid around on that floor underneath that sink for a day the other day, I got up and I said, "Honey, I'm tired. I said, I'm sore. My arms hurt." Well, you know, even after that thing blew off the trailer, this shoulder, I had to bring some cinder blocks in so I could stand up on them to get closer because I could reach it, but my shoulder hurt me too much to hold it up there. So I carried some cinder blocks in and put them on the floor of the trailer so I could stand up there a little bit closer to it without reaching so high. But hallelujah! You know, I praise God. Why? Because how many people couldn't carry a cinder block in, and how many couldn't stand on that cinder block? And if they could stand on that cinder block, how many couldn't get their arm up there to do it? I'm blessed with what I can do. And I say, Lord, every day, thank you for giving me the abilities that I have. Thank you for making it possible I could figure out what was wrong. You know that sink? I had never seen a sink like that. You know one of those that you flip back and forth and gives you hot and cold water? I looked at that and I probably spent 10 minutes because it was so interesting. How does this thing work? Because I'm used to turning a faucet here, hot water. No. Cold water's on the right, hot water's on the left. I'm used to turning that handle and getting water. But with that other thing, it's got two little triangles in there and one down here. And the two, you know, you turn over this way and you get hot water, turn over this way and you get cold water, and turn it in the middle and you get a mix of it. That was an amazing thing for me. I enjoyed figuring out how that thing worked. So I spent a little bit of time, honey, all that time I wasn't working, some of it I was playing, I was trying to figure how that dumb thing worked. You know, hallelujah, I could do that. I figured it out. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that ability. You know, it's amazing what He can do, what He can and will do for us. You know, there was a man by the name of Brother Hughes. And he's the one that I got this Jeremiah 33:3 being our 911. And I only tell you that because I don't want to be a... Oh, I forgot that word. Polygamist. I didn't want to. What is that when you. Okay. Tell me later. Some of those words, they just. You know, I want to learn them. I want to act like I'm sophisticated. Some people's too far gone for that, though, aren't they? You know, there was. Brother Hughes also gave me another illustration. While crossing the Atlantic Ocean on a ship, there was a great preacher on there by the name of F.B. Meyer. And they asked F.B. Meyer if he would bring a message to them. And he did. He brought a message on answered prayer. An agnostic man was present at the sermon, and he was asked by one of his friends, "What'd you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon?" And this agnostic said, "I didn't believe a word of it." That afternoon, the agnostic decided to go for a walk, and as he was walking out the door, there was a couple of oranges on his table. He picked them up and stuck them in his pocket. And as he was walking up the deck, there was an old lady there. She is probably about 90 years old. She was laying there asleep. And he took those two oranges and laid them on her lap. And he went on, and as he came back, he saw that she was awake and she was eating one of the oranges. And the agnostic man walked up to her and said, "How are you feeling today?" She said, "I'm pretty good." He said to her, "You enjoying your orange?" And she said, "I sure am." And he said, "Where'd you get it?" She said, "My father gave it to me." The agnostic looked at her and he said, "Your father's still living?" Here she was, 90 years old. "My father gave it to me." She said, "He sure is. And he gave it to me. Said, earlier today, said, I've been sick for 2 weeks. And I was laying here on this chaise lounge, whatever that chair on, you know, on the deck. And said, I was praying. And I said, Lord, I think if I had an orange, it might help my regurgitating and everything, it might make me feel better." And said, "He not only answered my prayer, he gave me two oranges." You know, greater than you expect. She prayed for one. Her father gave her two. we have someone that we can call on, and He will help us in our time of trouble. But you know something? God's not the only one that helps. My fellow Christians, you guys pick me up. You really do. You know, I can get down to the dumps. You know the right words to say to me. I do. I enjoy serving the Lord. I enjoy doing whatever I can do for Him. Sometimes, though, probably some of you other people will know what I mean. Us old hillbillies, we have a poor image of ourselves sometimes. And it's like, I was asked before church started, "Are you speaking tonight?" I said, "Yes, I am." And I came back by and I said, "Were you asking because you was trying to figure if you could leave or not?" I said, "Well, don't worry, you can't get out because they shut the door. When you come in, it don't open going out until after I get through preaching." But you know, being able to joke about something like that and have someone come up and just talk to me. I like to sing. But you know something? I'm not a good singer. But sometimes you people, you make me feel good because when I do get up here and I do the best I can do, and you know what? How can I do any better than the best I can do? You know? Hallelujah. I'm serving God. That's the big issue about it. I'm serving my Lord. I'm not doing it because I want to entertain you. I'm doing it because I want to serve my God. And I want to give Him praise for what He's done for me. And you people, you pick me up. You know, how many times have I already told you in the past about Grandma Jones, right, Mama? She's had to pass away, though, and I just wrote a letter and asked, but I haven't got an answer back. But I know she passed away because I'm no longer hearing from her. Prayed for us every month. Brother Stamper, I prayed for you every day during the month of August. I prayed for you every day during the month of September. You know, if that don't pick someone up, what's going to pick them up? I can get down to the dumps and I get a letter like that when I'm on a mission field. Hallelujah. You know, people can pick me up. You can pick me up. You can pick the up. You know, these missionaries. Read their letter. Find out what's going on in their life. You know, what we used to do, and I say used to, we don't anymore. We took 3 by 5 cards and wrote all the missionaries' names and their kids, and we set it in the middle of the dining room table. And we'd pick the front one up and read who it was and where they were and put it back, and we'd pray for them during that mealtime. And we'd go through those cards praying for the missionaries. Because we saw how people prayed for us and what it did for us. We can get providential help. And when we tune into the Lord. Now that's providential. So I'm jumping back and forth. But that's okay. You're going to have to excuse me because I want to share this with you. James 4:7-8. Providential help comes from submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's how we can get providential help. We need to be submitted. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then it says in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, quench not the Spirit. Matthew 18:4 says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It also says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. He giveth more grace. He don't just give us what we need. He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, James 4:10, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves and be lifted up. Praise God. We can get over the hard times, though, when other people help us. We need to recognize the talents that other people have. And you know, some people, they have different talents. I can do things that you can't do, and I'll guarantee you can do things I can't do. You know, we need to recognize what other people can do for us, what they can do for the Lord, what they can do for the church. And when it was day, he called upon unto his disciples, and he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. You know what? Those he chose weren't perfect. They made mistakes. Peter made a mistake. How about Judas? The Lord chose him to be one of his apostles. But God knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing when he chose those guys. He had a reason for choosing them. And you know something? I don't know why the preacher asked me to preach tonight. I'm glad he did, though, because I enjoy sharing with you what God shared with me. So, hallelujah. I don't know. He had a reason for it, though. Thank you, preacher. We need to respect our fellow man and take no one for granted. Everybody in this church is as important as the other one. I may be standing up here and preaching to you tonight, but it does not make me any more important than any one of you guys. A pastor's up here 3 times a week or more, but he's not any more important than any one of you. Not you, any one of us. Take no one for granted and tell them we appreciate them. You know something that really works? If you brag about someone, they'll do things for you you didn't think you'd get out of them sometimes. Let them know you appreciate them. Brag on them a little bit. You know what? You brag on me and I'd probably try to fix that thing above my head without standing on those center blocks if you brag on me a little bit. I do all kinds of things like that for a few words of praise. Practical hints that'll help you to get over the hard times and hard places. First off, there is no small work in God's eyes. There is no small work. We are undertaking a big task no matter what we do. Some people's tasks can be bigger than others, but God does not make us all equal. Where every one of us are different. You know, some people, just to hear them pray, will draw you closer to the Lord. Not what they're saying. You sense their spirit as they're praying. Hey, they are in earnest. They're talking to the Lord. They mean what they're saying. They want God to hear them. And someone else, you know, the Pharisees, we have a big task. You know, since God, He called me to be a missionary, and He called me to preach. You know, if I'd have been a doctor, I might could have saved some people's lives. In some situations, I might have been able to save some people's lives. If I'd have been a lawyer, I might have kept someone out of prison or helped them go to prison, whatever it is. But you know what? To be anything but a pastor, a preacher, or a missionary, I'd have had to stoop down to something lower. Even to be a president of the United States, I'd have had to stoop to be a president of the United States over what I did. Because what I was doing and what the pastor's doing, trying to keep people from going to hell. And that's more important than anything else in this world, is tell them how they can be saved, what they need to do. God called me to preach. And we have a message that we need to give to people that'll deliver them from the penalty, the power, and one day deliver them from the presence of sin. That's why we need to remember always our position, no matter what it is in the church, is a position of honor and great responsibility and dignity. No matter what it is, sweeping the floor, washing the windows, sweeping the sidewalk in the rain that's on the sidewalk before the people get here. Oswald J. Smith wrote this. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing verbatim as he wrote it. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your victor? And are you living a victorious Christian life? And he continued, he said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, we read these words, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, are you a victor? He continued, the saddest experience in a Christian's life is the presence and power of sin. To be on a mountaintop today and down in the valley tomorrow. To be in the 8th chapter of Romans today and back in the 7th chapter tomorrow. To be in a promised land today and back in the wilderness tomorrow. To be up today and down tomorrow. I say this is the saddest experience in a Christian's life that I know anything about. And he continued, he said, God has said in unmistakable words, sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6:14. When Paul came to the end of that terrible 7th chapter of Romans and cried out in the anguish of his soul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? The answer comes as though spoken by the voice from heaven. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, 7:24 and 25. Victory is possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to have victory in your life? You will only have it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to give you peace. Nothing else is going to give you the victory. You know, I'm not worried about the radiation of my head. I'm not worried about that cancer. I've been living with cancer since 2000 anyhow. That's when they took the first kidney out for cancer. And, you know, it seems like through the time, I've had a lot of trouble with it. I'm not worried about it. If the Lord wants me now, I'm ready to go. However, you know, the doctor telling me that today and then getting that letter about Debbie's thing because of her cancer and she passed away and all, I guess the two things together was a little bit of an overload for me, saying, you know, I had to close Debbie's door and here I am going to go start having that radiation myself. So it was a little bit of an overload, but that's okay. Praise God. He is still the victory for me. We need to remember, stick it out through the thick and the thin. I don't know if this is true. I will say that, but I did read an illustration I want to share with you. Trust in God. Mountain climber was climbing at night, and he had a rope on. He fell. The rope caught him and stopped him. But it was a dark, moonless night. He could see nothing. And God was speaking to him, cut the rope, cut the rope, cut the rope. He wouldn't cut the rope. The next morning when the rescuers got there, he was dead. He had frozen to death because it was wintertime. And his rope had stopped him 2 feet off the ground. If he'd have listened to what God said, cut the rope, he'd have fallen 2 feet and been safe. He'd have gone taking care of himself. But he wouldn't trust the Lord and do what God told him. Cut the rope, cut the rope, cut the rope. Lord, not me, I'm afraid to. You know, that's why we don't give a lot of God's blessings. We're afraid to do what he says. We're afraid to get out there. We're afraid. You know, 2 years. I said, Lord, I can't preach. I'm a hillbilly. No one will listen to me. The door was locked, so you had to listen to me tonight, though. That's okay. No problem. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Listen to this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. We have a heavenly Father that cares for us. He wants to take care of us. He needs us to call on Him. He needs us to pour our troubles out to Him and trust Him when He gives us the answer. And let Him bless us and give us the victory in our lives. Thank you. Thank you, preacher.
Would you bow with me as we close? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant tonight. Thank you for the message. Thank you that you're there for us. That when we cry out, you do hear. You know anyway, but you want us to talk with you. We thank you, dear Lord, that you can give us the victory, that your grace is abundant, that you give more grace. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony Brother Stamper shared with us of so many different things. You've been faithful. I pray, God, that we would meditate on that. That, dear Lord, it would grow our faith in you, that you would be our first solution. We'd turn to you first. We thank you, dear Lord, for these and other truths. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to meditate on them. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed?